session number 28701, Reel 2.
Did you ever have any connection with the doctors? Did you ever work beside the doctors?
Only if I was in the operating theatre. We just stood and watched the doctor. I didn't have anything to do with handing any instruments or anything like that. I just used to have to stand behind the head of the patient.
And
that's all. Just stand there and then wheel the patient by myself back to the ward on the stretcher. And also, if they came by ambulance, go down and the ambulance driver and myself would put a patient on the stretcher and wheel them, and I used to have to wheel them to the ward. But
you were on small.
Yeah, on my own. I look back and I think, how did I do it? But we did.
You could have got into a difficult position.
Yeah, but when they were getting from the ambulance, then you know we got help onto the stretcher, and of course when you got to the ward. Then you got help to lift them onto the bed.
Were they quite heavy? But were they on wheels?
They were on wheels.
But were they quite heavy?
Yeah, but it didn't seem as if they were heavy. Mm. But at the time, it didn't seem like that. Because I think what it was, you were more concerned about getting that patient to the bed, so you didn't think about what the weight was like, you know.
Not every nurse would have been able to stomach being in the surgery.
No.
How did you spend it?
I loved it. I said lots of times that I really should have done training as a nurse. But again, my father wanted, when I talked about training as a nurse, and he used to say, no, it's too hard a work. Because he worked in it, you see, and he worked in the operating theatre, so he used to do all the sterilising. No, he was I forget what his position was, but he used to have to do all the sterilising of the instruments and clean up the operating theatre at the time.
He just didn't want you to do that.
No, well, he saw how hard nurses worked in those days.
Were there ever any female doctors then?
I can't recall. There may have been, but I can't recall any at the hospital that I was. They were mainly men.
Can you recall whether there was any penicillin around?
No, not then.
I think the first lot went to a New Zealander outside of Britain.
Yes.
I think it was there, but it was in very short supply.
Yes. Mm. No, I can't. I was trying to think when I thought penicillin came in. No, I can't. I can't remember now. But it wasn't definitely not during the war.
So you wouldn't have had anything to do with the drug trolleys then, would you?
No. Oh no, that was one job that had to be done by the trained staff. It was only kind of the jobs that sort of really anybody can do, like anyone could really bed bath a patient if they're shown how to do it. And obviously in those days you had thermometers in the mouth and things like that.
And how did you sterilise the thermometers?
We used to have like a pot, but it had a disinfectant in. Yeah, just put it in there.
And BP? blood pressure? You wouldn't have.
No, I wasn't involved in that. In fact, I can't remember them doing blood pressure. I know we used to have to count when you had the thermometer in the mouth. We used to have to count, do the pulse and count the breathing.
You did that as well?
Yes, you did that. Mm-hmm. And then record it on the chart.
And the chart was what, on the
end? On the end of the bed, yes. So, yes, I enjoyed that 2 years as working in the hospital, very much so. And, I suppose when I look back, I enjoyed all the jobs, really. Even working on the switchboard, I enjoyed.
You seemed keen for everything that you did. There was a keenness there,
yes,
wasn't there,
yes,
to learn.
Yes,
and to do well.
Yes. Because I think I left school when I was 14, and I'd had schooling, but I was in hospital a lot as a child, and so I didn't get the education I should have got because I was away so much. We used to have a little bit of someone came to the hospital, and I'm in hospital at one time, when I was 9, I was in hospital for 2 years. And they thought I was going to get rheumatic fever.
What were the main symptoms of your problems?
Pain went from the age of 4 years old. I had pains in my legs. And they used to say it was growing pains in those days. Until one day my mother took me, because I'd not long come out of one hospital, come back from a convalescent actually, and I wasn't very well and I had these awful pains in my legs, and the mother took me to this hospital, and I could remember it to this day, this doctor standing me on the table and turning to my mother and saying, "This isn't growing pains, this is rheumatic fever. How many other children have you got?" And she said, 3, and they're all in hospital. We're all in different hospitals. And he said, "I'm afraid this one is going into hospital as well," because they kept you in hospital longer in those days. And not like today, I was kept in blankets. And I remember, because I could never stand really wool against my skin because it would irritate, you know. I can remember that.
How did they deal with the pain? What did
they
give you?
Back in those days, they just kept you in bed. I don't know what kind of drugs they gave us. I can't remember that. I remember them giving us hot baths, and I remember I caught something off of one of the nurses, and it was, what do they call it? Scabies. And back then, they used to scrub you. And, you know, when you had anything like that. And I'd caught it in there. I can remember that. It wasn't very pleasant at the time. But my mother always said the Air Force was the making of me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, because she always said that, because I wasn't ill ever. Only, like, say, the flu or something I had, I think, once. But apart from that, I was never ill in the Air Force.
Do you mean that the pain went?
No, I still have it. But not like it was when I was a child.
Is this just in your legs?
In my legs, yes.
Yeah, is it called arthritis?
It's rheumatism. But fortunately, they saved me from getting rheumatic fever, which was back then. They're always afraid of your heart when you got rheumatic fever.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
Because one of the WEFs I interviewed,
yes,
did get rheumatic fever,
yes,
because the base that she was at was very cold,
yes,
and damp.
Yes. Now, it was very cold and everything wherever we were on the camps. But I, fortunately, I seemed to toughen up. And it seemed to do me good.
Maybe being active.
probably doing the PT and everything, you know, and because they wouldn't allow me to do that when I was a child, you see. So maybe that was the reason, you know. But I do suffer with my legs. I've always got pains when I'm walking and that, but I'm so used to it, I don't take any
notice. Do you just have to put up with the pain, or can you take something for it?
Well, I could take stuff, but I don't. Not. I mean, I did when before, because I've had a new knee 2 years ago now. But I mean, that was terrible.
That's a new knee, not just cartilage.
No, that was the word I was trying
to. You were
to
looking
for. That was the word I was looking for. No, I had a complete new knee.
Has that worked all right?
Oh yes. I mean, I don't go to the high street without a stick, because I'm frightened of falling down, which I did once, but that's the reason. But I mean, before I had it done, it was absolute agony, because it was like someone, there's your knee, it was like someone sticking a knife in it all the time. It was awful pain, and because it came up like a balloon, you know.
I must have lost a lot of sleep.
I did. But it was mainly walking downhill I found was the worst, you know. But I don't give in to it, because if you start sitting around, then you seize up.
Thinking about it too, aren't you?
Yes, yes. You know. But I mean, I don't say it doesn't hurt. It hurts, but nothing compared to the pain I had before. And it's so bad. I mean, I can walk without a stick now, but I don't, because of the actual bad pavements and things, you know. But anyway, are you still here? Well, have I said about the hospital in South Wales?
No.
I'm trying to think of the name of the place. It was near Treforest, near Pontypridd actually. And what it was a nurse's home, a new hospital that had been built, and our sleeping quarters were in the nurse's home, but they hadn't finished it. It was just like the walls hadn't even been properly replastered, but we used to have to use them as rooms, individual rooms. But I was on the switchboard at that hospital, and then I decided that I would try again to see if they would take me as a wireless op. They sent me to St. Athyn, which is another RAF station, for my test. I was getting quite concerned, because I thought they were going to give me maths, and I wasn't very good at maths. But all I had to do was go to the piano and play God Save the Queen with one finger. And that passed me. Because they decided I had an ear for Morse code. And then I went from there back to Blackpool. And again, Bill was stationed there, so I was able to see him again. But that was just like to do the Morse code, but we also used to have to do marching. Every day you did a certain amount of drill, you know, and they used to march us to what they called the Derby Baths for our showers. But you'd no sooner get in the shower, and then you were shouted out to come out again and then march back to whatever station. It's still there, but I can't remember the name of it. It was a big hall that where we used to do our Morse code. And we started off by doing four words a minute, and then you had to, and it isn't dots and dashes, it's dits and dars. And you had to start off, let us say, with four words a minute. We had civilian trainers who trained us, and till you got right up to my speed was 22 words a minute.
That would have been fast.
Yes, it is quite fast. I didn't have any problem at all with the Morse code. It was doing the technical part, like learning Ohm's law and learning how to do repair a radio. And then they had what they call procedure, and that is teaching you how to send messages, receive messages, and that sort of thing. I didn't have any problem with that. It was just the... And in the middle of this course, I lost my brother. He was killed in an air raid, and he was only 16. And it threw me, because him and I got on so well, and I had to get compassionate leave to go home. And they hadn't even found him then, but by the time I got home, they had found him. And then I went back, and I kept on failing this technical course. And this sergeant, he said, "You're going to pass it. I'm going to make you pass it." So he made me go to evening classes, which finally I did. I did pass, and I passed the whole lot. We finished off at Compton Bassett and finished the course there. And another thing there, I remember we used to have kit inspections. And this particular time, I had a new pair of shoes, and they took a lot of breaking in, because they could hurt you a bit. So I decided that I would wear the new ones in the afternoon and the old ones in the morning, or vice versa. And this particular time, we used to have to line our shoes at the bottom of the bed, lined up sort of like in a line. They had to be straight. And while I was working, out came the inspection, picked up my shoes, and because I hadn't had them healed, they wouldn't take any excuses, so I had to go on a charge. And one of the things that I had to do was go on the coal dump and sift coal at the back of the naffy. Well, you can imagine all the men and girls going to the naffy. That made it hilarious, to see me standing on there sifting coal.
Did you feel embarrassed?
Not really. Not really.
It must have happened quite a lot to people.
Oh, yes. Well, they sort of seemed to pick things, I think it was just to let you know that you don't get away with anything. Again, it didn't do me any harm. But that was the only time I was ever put on a charge.
So you enjoyed the Morse code work?
Yes, very much. I enjoyed being a warrior. Some of the time, when I was at RAF Wing, if they were short of someone on the switchboard, then they would put me on the switchboard. And my friend who trained with me, she was put on to the teleprinting. In those days it was teleprinting, and she was put on there because she was quite good at that, and I was good on the switchboard.
She went on the switchboard
if they were short of someone else.
So you went backwards and forwards to Blackpool a bit, didn't you?
Twice I went. I was stationed at RAF Wheaton, which was 5 miles from Blackpool. And then again, I was stationed actually in Blackpool when I did the Morse code and the rest of the... We used to go into the Tower Ballroom for our lessons on the technical part and the procedure. Used to go into the Tower Ballroom there, and we did some of our exams. They had rooms on the side, and we used to do some of our exams in there.
How did you find the exams? Were they oral or written?
Some of it was written, and some of it you were questioned.
And who would do the questioning?
Well, sometimes you had a flight sergeant or a sergeant that used to do it. And obviously when you did the Morse, you had either, any of those. When I left, when I finished my course, I was sent to RAF Wing Bomber Command, and our job was to train the air gunner, wireless operator, air gunners, because it was an OTU, which was a training camp, and we had Wellington bombers on the camp, which they used to go up in, and then they would send us mortars, and we used to have to correct them if they made mistakes. Sometimes we got sent rude words if we kept asking the same question, because they weren't really getting it right. But it was quite good. I quite enjoyed that. And as I say, then from there, well, unfortunately, I was taken ill there. Before I went to RAF Honnerley, I'd been posted to RAF Honnerley, but I was taken I had very bad appendicitis, and I was taken to RAF Halton Hospital, where I spent VJ day in bed, and what they did in those days, they used to have a thing that could put the bed on wheels and wheel your bed, and they had parties going on in one part of the hospital, and there was just myself and another girl in bed, and they wheeled our beds down to join the party on VJ day.
How wonderful.
It was marvellous. I mean, there were men with broken necks and, had them done up and everything in RAF Halton Hospital. And then from there, after I went to a place called Studley Priory for convalescent, because they wouldn't let me go on leave till I'd been to convalescent, because I was quite ill with my appendix. And because, as I say, not like it is today, the operations are different, and you stayed in bed in those days. And we went to this place, was an 11th century house in Oxford, near Oxford. And the keys were enormous to our rooms. And there were four of us in a room. There were massive rooms. And quite sort of very oldy worldy. And during the day, they had huge lawns. And during the day, we used to have to go out on the lawns. And they would take us for a walk around the estate, where they had their own private burial places. They had railings around them, and the people from the house had been buried there. But it was quite interesting. Yes, so it was, I was lucky in being able to go there. I've got a photo somewhere, but I can't put a, if I find it again at some time, I will show it to you.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, because I could show you this. And it was quite, since we've lived here, we were looking through one of those magazines where you get a lot of big houses, and we found it in there. So
I would think that was a lovely place in which to convalesce.
Yes, it was very quiet, very quiet. And we were well looked after, food-wise and everything, It was really good. And then I was allowed to go on leave.
And by that time, we're 1945.
Yes, yes. Because the war had ended by then. Because it was VJ Day when I was in the hospital.
What about VE Day? Did you celebrate that?
No, I think I was on duty. I can't remember much. No, I can't remember going to anything. I can remember D-Day. I can remember D-Day. I'd been on duty all night and coming back to the Nissen hut that I was in. This was at RAF wing, sitting on the bed and hearing it over the tannoy that, you know, that it had started, D-Day had started. I can remember that. But I can't remember much about 1945. Not
the... You were on duty that night. What did you do that evening? What did you do?
That night, were you just listened out if there was any, you know, you just sat in the control tower and you listened, because there wasn't much going on. Sometimes, before the war ended, obviously, we used to get diverted Lancasters, diverted because of weather. And you'd wake up or come off duty one morning and there they would all be lined up with all still their bonds on, you know. But that wasn't very often. It was only if they get bad weather. And you also, another thing that happened to me at RAF wing was if there was no flying, we were allowed to go off duty. And this, I always used to go off duty. But the WAFs and huts were about 3 miles down the road, so you had to walk, or if you had a bike you could ride it. You know, I didn't have a bike in those days. And this particular night it was pitch black and I always used to sing, and walking along, you know, by myself, and I was singing, and out of the blue a voice said, "Hello there," and frightened the life out of me, and all I could see were two whites of his eyes, and it was an American Negro soldier. And I suppose he wondered what I was doing out at that time in the morning, and I don't think I've run so fast in all my life.
Did you feel scared?
I did, but after that, if ever there was no flying, I used to sleep on my desk and just manage that way. I never did go anymore. Yeah.
How did you cope, as you know, with female things? You know, all the white laundering and looking after your hair, and
we just used to do our own hair. Well, I still do. But we used to do our own hair.
You look as if you have naturally curly hair.
Not now. I did as a child, but not now. No, I had it perm. I have a perm. And then I just do it. I only go twice a year, and then I do it myself. I have it cut once in between each time, and then I do it myself.
So looking after your uniform, the laundry...
Oh, you used to have
that.
To do
was
your
that?
Own washing. And you could send your... There was laundry that you could send your shirts to if you wanted to, and collars and things like that. But bedding, they saw to. And, well, like all the people in the Air Force, used to have what they called biscuits for mattresses. They were like three squares. And used to have to, every morning, they would have to be piled up. Your blankets folded a certain way and one right round at the end of your bed.
Very precise.
Exactly. It had to be right.
And inspections.
And we used to have to clean our own bed space. We used to have to do fire picket, which you weren't allowed off the camp if you were on the fire picket and, you know, duty. And that, and you had your night where you had to clean your bed space. Every body had to clean their own bed space.
So how many in a dormitory? How many?
Well, in the ones in RAF Wheaton, we were 30 in a hut. But I think in the Nissen hut there was about 20 of us, like 10 each side. so long ago, I can't remember exactly, but we weren't as many as what they were in Wheaton.
Just wanted to